20. For my eyes have seen the salvation, seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The glory of thy people Israel. In that passage, you find that the scripture is telling us three things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he is God's salvation. He calls him thy salvation. And then a light to lighten the Gentiles, to bring the revelation of God to the world. And then the glory of his people Israel. So I'm not going to go back to the things we spoke about on Thursday and on Saturday. If you have interest in them, and you should have interest in them, you should go get the CD and listen to them, because they will teach you a lot of things that will help you as a Christian. So I'm not going back there, because you are supposed to be here, but you didn't come. So I'm not going to bother you. See, if you want it, you go and listen to it. If you don't want it, enjoy yourself. But we are going to continue and talk about the glory of his people Israel. What did I say? What did I say? See, what is the glory of God? When you say that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, it's important that we understand exactly what we're talking about. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is his nature. Number one is what? His nature, his attributes, his majestic nature is his glory. Number two, his presence. His presence is his glory. His nature, his presence is his what? Glory. And the manifestations of his power and authority is also his glory. Psalm 19:1. Psalm 19:1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The heavens proclaim what? The glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. And day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. His wisdom and his depth of knowledge, he reveals the knowledge he has reveals his glory. So we see, I've gone past those scriptures, right? I've read beyond verse 4. Now we're talking about the glory of God, his presence, his nature, his presence, the manifestations of his power. And the Bible says, all heavens declare his glory, which means the work of his hand, immense work of his hand, which we see in creation, reveals the glory of who? Of God. And then the fourth thing that reveals the glory of God is his wisdom. His wisdom, the depth of divine wisdom, reveals the glory of God. The scripture says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past what? Finding out. The depth of divine wisdom. How unsearchable. The wisdom of God reveals his glory. Let me go through that. Number one, his nature. Number two, his what? Presence. Number three, his what? The manifestations of his power, like in creation. And number four, his what? His wisdom. They all reveal the glory of God. And when God made Adam, you should know that Adam was the creation of God. That God used his hand to create what? Adam. And if creation reveals the glory of God, then Adam was a revelation of what? The glory of God. Because the Bible also said that he made Adam in his own image. So he was a revelation of the glory of God. And not only a revelation of the glory of God, in creation, Adam had the presence of God. God will come to Adam and Eve Right? Am I right? So they were enjoying his glory. And Adam had the wisdom of God. Because immediately he saw Eve, he said, this is now what? Come on, church. This is now what? Bone of my bone and what? Flesh of my flesh. How did he know that? He never saw the woman before. There was nothing like a woman before. He was operating the wisdom of God. So he was able to identify this woman. And God created everything and said to Adam, give them names. How did God trust him to do that? Because God knew he would give them the same names he would have given. So he was operating the wisdom of God. He was operating, he had the presence of God with him. He was a handwork of God that God made. So he carried the glory of God. Can I hear amen? Amen. And so when Adam fell, he lost all of that. When he fell, he lost the presence of God. Then he acquired an awful nature. He lost that glorious nature of God. He lost the wisdom of God. He began to operate the wisdom of men. He began to use leaves to cover his nakedness. He was now operating by sight. He was no more operating by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Amen? Can you touch her? Make sure she's hearing me. Are you hearing me? Good. Praise the Lord. She was no more operating what she used to have before. She thought that to cover sin, you use leaves. That will tell you how low he has gone. So he lost all that at the fall. All of the four things, he lost all of them. Now, because we are the product of Adam, we also came into this world losing the whole of it. Can I hear amen? We were in Adam when we came. The Bible says in Adam all die. We came into this world as a product of natural things between a man and a woman. And so we were the seed of Adam when we came here. And when we came here, because we were the seed of Adam, we also lost. We came lost. The Bible says in sin did my mother conceive me. So we came here sinners. We came here sinners. And so because we came here sinners, we didn't have the glory of God at all until Christ came. Can I hear amen? Amen. So when Christ came, it was in Christ that the glory of God was restored to us. What was restored to us in Christ? The presence of God, the nature of God, the wisdom of God, and then the creation of God. Because in Christ, we were created anew. There's a new creation. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's what? So God did another wonderful work of creation. Remember, that the work of God reveals his what? His glory. So when he created you in Adam, that was another revelation of the work of God. And then he gave us his life. That glorious nature of God. He gave us that his life. And the Bible says when he created us in Christ, he created us in the true image of who? Of God. Come on, church. Am I talking to you? So he created us in the true image of God. And now he gave us his spirit so we can operate the wisdom of God. So we can now operate the wisdom of God. And so in summary, see the way the Bible put it in 1 Corinthians 1:30 to 31. God, this New Living Translation. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself for us. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and freed us from our sins. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast at all, boast only about what? The Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is that it's only through Christ that the glory of God was restored to us. And you know, Jesus put it another way in John 17. He said, the glory you have given me, I have what? Must I tell you everything? The glory you have given me, I have what? And you're not sure. The glory you have given me, I have what? Given to them. Let me tell you, church. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you are carrying divine glory. The same glory that Jesus had is the glory you have. The same glory that Jesus has is the glory what? You have. Let me repeat it again. The same glory. Jesus had the presence of God. Jesus was a reflection of God. He had the nature of God. He has the wisdom of God. The same glory that God gave Jesus is the same glory that you have. Not another one. The same glory. He said, the glory you gave me, the glory we had before the creation of the earth, I have now given them. If you have a shout, hallelujah. John 17:22. It says, and the glory which thou gavest me, who brought this gavest and thou gavest and concupiscence and all that? Can we have New Living Translation? This thou gavest. Finally, that's not what I want. John 17:22. And the glory. I have given them the glory, what? You gave me. So they may be one as we are. Let me tell you what it's talking about. What it's talking about is that you operate the same glory. I operate the same glory. So we operate the same glory. The same. Said, I and my Father will operate the same glory. So we have given them the same glory. So they operate the same way that what? We operate. Those will be one. They'll be one in what they do. Because it's the same glory that are operating as I and my Father are operating the same glory. So he said, the same glory that God has given me is what you have. Tell your neighbor and say, you have it. Come on, say it one more time. But the issue is that, do we really know we have it? Do we really know we have it? Praise the Lord. I said, do we really know what? We have it. I had the story of a woman who was very hungry. And then somebody visited her and said, he said, my son in America doesn't send me money. I said, what he sent me is this thing that has the pictures. And then he said, what is it that has pictures? And he took this visitor and showed her a dollar. He said, he doesn't send me money, because he thought if he send money, it would be naira. But when they gave her dollar, she would keep it. He said, what is this useless thing? My son is always sending me something that has all these pictures. So I don't know what it is. She was packing dollar and going hungry. You're shaking your head. But you are packing the glory and going hungry. Packing the glory of God and acting like you have no glory at all. You pack the glory, but you act like you have what? No glory. Like you are not fine. God just abandoned you. The woman said, all my son says to me is this thing has pictures. Because she thought that if it's money, it should be with night. But they bring her the thing in dollar, and the poor boy will bring so that mama will change it at the current rate and have more. But mama will put it and say, this is what I have. Going hungry, and neighbors were feeding her. And then somebody got concerned and went to visit her and said, Mama, are you saying your son doesn't send you anything? He said, that boy is useless. Packs this thing that has only pictures. And I don't know what it is. He said, what does it? He said, let me see it. It was dollar. $100 bills. And Mama was going hungry. God says, I've given you my glory. And you are going hungry. Because you don't know what it means. Praise the Lord. You see my little boy, who goes, he's not my little boy. When he was very young,
They gave her 50 naira beer, or 100, I forgot. 50 naira. He said he didn't know the value. So he said, he showed it to either the mom or to me or something. And later on, he said, where is the money? He said, I don't know. And he was laughing. Maybe he dropped it somewhere. Maybe a plane with it just left it. And he wanted meat pie. But the money, I don't know. You know why he did that? He didn't know the value of the 50th, so whatever. You have the glory of God. Do you know the value? You know, the church should be brought to understand that what when God says my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, that thing is serious. That thing is serious. Jesus said, the glory I operated with here on earth, I have what? So that they can operate in the same glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to convince you that God has put his glory on you. Amen. He has restored you to glory. He brought his presence to you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he created you in his own image and gave you his spirit so that you can operate like he operates, so you can know the things that people don't know easily. You can understand spiritual realities, understand the wisdom of God, which is also his glory. Gave you his nature. Praise the Lord, church. So, one of the ways that we manifest the glory of God is the life he gave us. Through the life he gave us. When we manifest the life he gave us. And the life that God gave us is the life of faith and life of love. It's a life of faith and life of what? Love. I said here on Thursday, there are two things that God has asked us. Number one is to believe in Son Jesus Christ. Number two is to live in love. Because if you don't live in love, he says, even if you do miracles and do whatever you want to do, if you don't live in love, he says you are still zero. You are nothing. Love is the thing. Love is the life of the Christian. Love is what Jesus showed us. That's what he gave us. The life he gave us is the love of God. So if we live by love, we reflect the glory of God. Can you say it with me? If we live by love, we reflect the glory of God. Let's say it one more time. If we live by love, we reflect the glory of God. I was saying here on Saturday that because we don't know these things, we think that the law is the glory of God. But the law is not the life of God. The life of God, for God is love. It's nowhere the Bible says for God is the law. But the Bible says for God is what? It's love. So what reflects the glory of God is the life of love that we live. And I want you to see that when Jesus was here, all the people that were sticklers for the law, they didn't bring great influence on people. But when Jesus came, living out the mercy of God, living out the goodness of God, he had tremendous influence. People could not have enough of him. People who wouldn't go to church started going to what? Church. Following him. A woman came to him. Brethren, listen to this. A woman came to him and brought and was crying at his feet, wetting his feet with her tears and using her hair to dry it. And then people who didn't understand said, this woman is not worth anything. If this man was a prophet, he would have known what type of woman this is. Because they said, this woman is not worth anything. She's not worth fellowshipping with. And Jesus said, you people have no idea. To whom much is forgiven, he loved much. He said, you don't know what is pulling him to me is the love of God. Can I hear amen? Amen. He said, what was pulling this woman who was evil, and you people have confirmed that it's evil, what is pulling her to God is the love of God. That's what he was telling them. It's the love of God that is bringing her to God. But you people bring the law and send it away from God. That's why I say the letter kill it. But the Spirit give it what? Life. So it's the love of God was pulling her. And she was coming willingly. When a woman will weep and use her hair, and you know the hair of a woman is her what? Glory. And use it to wipe it and kiss the feet. I mean with the dust. That is a demonstration of complete yieldedness. And I want to challenge you to check this out. When you begin to live by laws with people, they avoid you. Am I telling lies? They start avoiding you because you become a source of embarrassment to them. But when you begin to embrace people with love, guess what? You attract them. They follow you. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? Who do you want to lean towards? Is it not someone that shows you compassion? That shows you understanding? So if you have problem, is it not the same person you will go to? Because you know when you go there, you will not be condemned. When you go there, you will be helped. Can I hear amen? You will be helped. They were just teaching us at the family forum that men don't like, that men have fragile ego. That if you disgrace a man's ego in public, he starts avoiding you. Is that correct? And they were telling women, if you do that to your husband, you are sending him away. But if you switch the other one and love him, it defies him. Men, he will give you his car, his salary, his shoe, and everything. Men, am I right? Yeah. So what I'm trying to bring out here, why are you clapping? Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to bring out here, when you settle the quarrel, I continue. What I'm trying to bring out here, brethren, is that the love of God reveals his glory. When we live a life of Christ, it's not a religious sycophantic life. What is sycophancy? Huh? What's sycophancy? Amen. What is sycophancy? Sycophancy is pretending to be what you are not. Religious life. Let me make it clear. Listen to me, church. Religious life has driven a lot away from Christ. It has ruined the life of many. Sycophancy is what the Pharisees lived. They appeared religious, but they had no influence over people. They were lords over people. Command, putting load over them, telling them what to do, giving them laws, giving them lists of. Jesus said, "You put burden on people's heads, which you don't lift with your finger." All this sycophantic outward show of worship is rubbish and nonsense. Appearing holy, bros. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I had my quiet time. It's a show. A masquerade has never influenced anybody. Masquerading is nonsense. Can we say it as it is? But the love of God is real. Can I hear amen? The love of God is what? Real. You are yourself. You are not pretending to be what you are not. That's what brings the glory of God. When you are real, God is not a pretender. You got to be real. You got to be yourself. Why do I have to pretend to you? Are you God? I just have to be myself. And for God's sake, give me space to be myself. Take your criticism somewhere. I don't need it. If you can't help me, get out of my way. Shut up. Some people are just going around embarrassing people, throwing religion at people, trying to show people, this is the way you must do that. If you don't do this, it's not it. Yeah. Who made you a judge? You have enough trouble yourself. And stop creating more for people. Come on, can I hear amen? Amen. Take your religion somewhere for God's sake. The world needs a lot of love. So when we live a life of love, we show forth the glory of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I say somebody shout hallelujah. I had an issue. A girl got pregnant in Nigeria. I had a baby. And they hid it and finally told me. And then they had rallied on this girl. They had really dealt with this girl mercilessly, thrown her out of the house, kept her somewhere. And when I got to know, I called her. I said to her, I said, no, I love you. She could not believe it. She thought I was joining them to, yeah. I said, I love you. I said, I know you've done wrong. I said, don't worry about it because they've told you enough that you've not done wrong. I said, I came to comfort you. I said, you've been bruised by life. You've been bruised. You've been hurt. You need comfort now. I said, I came to encourage you that God has more for you in life. I said, I came to show you that Jesus still loves you. He has plans for you. And you get married. Believe you me, they took her phone away from her. She will find phone and be calling me here. She wasn't talking to the parents. She was talking to me. She now told me how she got pregnant and what happened. He said, uncle, let me be honest with you. I was deceived into this thing. He said, if that man wants to marry me now, I will not. I found out he's evil. I called the parents. I said, what you people are doing is called religion. It's nonsense. Doesn't influence nobody. God is not in it. You're just condemning the poor girl. Just condemning the poor girl. You didn't even take any part of responsibility for what happened. She's the only evil in this house. Pure kingdom. And then the next thing, kick her out. I said, no, you kicked her out into my arms. And now we talk all the time. Praise the Lord. I said, we talk all the time. And she's hearing the thing that is bringing her up. But today she had admission into college. She said, uncle, I'm going to nursing school. Amen. He said, I promise you, it will never happen again. Amen. We're talking. She's not talking to the parents. No. I mean, she's not quarreling with them. But she finds it more comfortable to talk with. We're talking. We're talking. And the father finally called me. He said, your daughter. Yes, she's my daughter. Why should you kick her out for God's sake? Has God kicked you out? Has God kicked you out? Why should you kick her out? She needs comfort. When people need grace the most, we come and kick them the most. Come on, what kind of church is that? When people need us the most is when they are fallen. That's when they want you to come and bring the comfort and bring the glad and bring the distance and say, give me your hand. You can still make it. God is on your side. All is well. The blood was shed for you. No. That's when we talk about them everywhere. Tell you everywhere you see. Did you hear? Many of you have the gift of gossip. Am I right? Oh yeah. You know, if you have the gift of gossip. Anywhere you go, I don't want to talk about that kind of thing. But that's not Christianity. All I'm trying to say is that the glory of God is revealed by the life we live. If we live the life of love. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
First John 4:11-12. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, then God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. He said, if we love, then God who is love is brought to expression. People can see God. They can see God at work. See his glory. And how do we live this kind of life? We live it by knowing Jesus. You can't love unless you know Jesus. It's not something you determine to do. Because it's the Spirit of God that works it out in your life. Loving, God's love is not what a human being does. It's what the Spirit of God what does by giving you revelation. You have compassion. You, when people are seeing and getting angry, what you are seeing is totally different. And it is God that opens your eyes to see things the way he sees it. He shows you, see this person as somebody wounded. They are seeing it, seeing this person as evil person. But what they are seeing is totally different. And then that's when you can bend down like the Good Samaritan and begin to carry to where help will come. Because God, the way he's seeing this person is not the way others are seeing this person. They brought a woman caught in adultery. They say, we saw her as evil. We're going to stone her. What do you say, you man? Come on, what do you say? Jesus was writing. I don't know what he was writing. But I don't want to speculate. They were still there saying, what we see is an evil woman. Jesus, do you know what she did? She committed adultery. Hey! And she calls herself a Christian. And the Lord said, so. The Lord said, we will. And Jesus said, all right. The Lord is okay. But if any of you is without sin, let him drop stone. And then the Bible is so interesting. It said from the eldest, because they committed more sins than the younger ones. Out of their many years, the sins are piled on like that. So the Bible says, starting from the eldest, they started going out one by one. Then the small ones who have fewer years followed behind. And what Jesus was seeing was not what they were seeing. Jesus was seeing somebody who needed compassion and mercy. Because what happened to her was greater than her. She was wrecked by sin, wrecked by the world, wrecked by evil. And he said, that's why I came, to save you from this thing you can't handle. That's why I came. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. Woman, no. No. I came to seek you and to save you from it. He said, go and what? I don't care. But ask the woman a question. Where are your accusers? They're all like you. All of them. They didn't know they're like you. For all have. They had no idea. So when God opens your eyes, you see things differently. And it's the way you see, you respond. Am I right? Respond. If you see things religiously, you become wicked and heartless. But if you see things from God's point of view, you see somebody wounded. And you can't go, how can you go and see somebody in hospital and go out and be talking? He said, I went to see her. Ha! If you see the way they put her, his leg, you can't say that because he's wounded. Fred, praise the Lord. Am I communicating? I can't tell you the battle over this. I battled from my office, battled inside, I was battling all of it, but I've not seen the battle. This is severe battle to get this thing together. I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't here in your praise worship, I was inside there, was a real battle going on. Inside there, and I moved out here, and I moved in there, I said, this is going to be victory today. I can't describe to you what was going on there. It was serious confrontation. You are not preaching this. As I preach this. Praise the Lord, church. By this side of this sanctuary, God is healing somebody. By the middle of this side. I don't know what your sickness is, but the power of God is healing you. And you are a woman. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, as I'm preaching, the power of God will be healing people. Amen. Just expect it. Amen? Amen? Just what? Expect it. And so another way that God shows his glory through us. Thank you. Is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brings incredible power upon the life of the Christian and makes him a glorious witness of the glory of Jesus Christ. He becomes a witness of Jesus Christ. Let's just read Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31-35. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken while they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see one thing it gives you? Boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, And now they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. You see what it does? The glory you give me, I have given them so that they should be one. You see where it's working? Filled with the Holy Spirit and bringing division in church. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with what I don't know. That's not the Spirit of God you have. You have the fake one. Let me tell you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are really filled with the Holy Spirit, read the Bible now, read the book of Ephesians. He said, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, you have songs. You have this. And then you begin to go down. He said, then you'll be submitting to one another. You're under the influence of a spirit. How can you be acting like the devil? And you say you're under the guy filled with the Holy Spirit. No. See what happens there? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. There was no selfishness there. But they had all things common. And then with great power, with what? Great power. Church, with what? Great power. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. See what the baptism of the Spirit brings to the church? When people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Great grace. Great power. So we show the glory of God by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you should know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you should have. You don't wait one more second. When I read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I realized that everything that God gives us is a gift, I went into my bedroom, listened to this, locked up the door and said, Lord, I don't wait for a gift. I'm here for mine. Right away I said, Lord, I thank you, this is a gift. Wow. I'm not waiting for it. My own is right now. I said, I thank you, the Spirit has come. On the day of Pentecost, he came. So I'm not asking that he will come. I'm just receiving what you've sent. I said, I give you thanks. I receive the baptism right now in Jesus' name. Boom, I started speaking tongues. It didn't take 2 seconds. Because the Spirit has already come. It's all part of what I'm saying. You don't work for what has been given. The Spirit has already come. You don't work for it. What Jesus already brought us, the glory he brought us, you don't work for it. It's all yours. Friday, I'm going to be preaching about these things that are freely given to us. And then on Sunday, I'm going to preach about the resurrection of Christ. So I just thank God for it. I lifted up and said, Lord, I thank you. Wow. A gift from you. I'm not waiting for it. I'm taking it now. It's mine. Thank you for the baptism. Boom, all of us are starting speaking in tongues. And you can have it now. You can have it today. Amen? Then the other thing that, and then if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will advise you to pray in the Spirit a lot. When you pray in the Spirit a lot, you energize your spirit. You energize your spirit. The Bible says if you speak in tongues, if you pray in the Spirit, that you will defy yourself. You energize, you engage your born again spirit. A lot happens when you pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit 99.5% of the time. After I read that, Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than, I speak in tongues more than you are. I said, well, that's that. I'm following you, Paul. I pray in the Spirit, and most of the revelation I get when I pray in the Spirit. Incredible things happen when you pray in the Spirit. Oh, powerful stuff. I'm not kidding you. Real powerful stuff. When you pray in the Spirit, it's a glorious thing that the Christian must enjoy. It's a continuous flow. It's a continuous flow of churning out the power of God in you. When you pray in the Spirit, you engage your born again spirit. And you can't pray better than that, your spirit. Amen? Now, the other way that God has, we manifest the glory of God, is through the power and authority he has given us. Matthew 28:18. To 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, how many? How much power? Come on, church. How much power? So how much is left for the devil? So why do you worship him? You know, Andrew Womack told the story. I heard it from him. One time when he was doing deliverance ministry. I don't know, did anybody hear that story from him? Am I the only one? You heard it from him. He said you set up this deliverance thing. And then he was doing deliverance. Our family Charlie told us to where he was doing deliverance ministry. He said they will sit. He said they're next. After this were next, he said they were coming next. They finally found out he was fooling himself and stopped all that nonsense. You heard him. Didn't you hear him say that? Yeah? You heard him say that? Yeah. Then Andrew Womack said that. He said all manner of things were happening. She has fallen all over the place and everywhere. He said, man. Then he would spend hours chasing these demons. Then one day, after he finished, he was going, in the church. Nobody was there. He came in. Physically, demons started beating him up. Physically. Then he ran from, real story. You heard it from him too. He ran from the place to the parking lot to run away. And God said, why are you running to? He said, they'll pursue you anywhere you are running. So you better go back there and deal with it. And then he said, go there and use my name and stop them, otherwise they'll kill you. So he went back there and said, name of Jesus, I stop. He dealt with them. And the Lord said, know why they beat you up? He said, no. He said, because you've been worshiping them without knowing. You've been empowering them in your life. You are the one that empowered them. He said, how? Because all you talk about is the work of Satan. He said, don't you understand that worship is talking about the power of something? When you worship God, you talk about what? The work of his hands. When you worship the devil, you talk about what? The work of the devil. And when you worship God, God becomes big. He's magnified. When you talk all the time about the work of Satan, what does he do? He becomes magnified and you're empowering him. He said, that's why they came and beat you up. So he closed down all of that. And the Lord said to him, go and teach my word. For when their people know the truth will what? That's when his ministry changed. Changed. And he began to teach the word of God. And now millions of people are listening to it all over the world. And miracles are breaking. Praise the Lord. So now the Bible says, for all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. And the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of time. So Jesus gave to the church the same power that he has. All power has been given unto me. He now said to the church, you now go in my name. Mark chapter 16. Go in my name. In my name you shall what? You shall what? What is casting? Kick it out. Cast out demons. In my name, he told us, in my name you will exercise authority. All powers of God is vested in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to say amen to that. Amen. It's vested in the name of Jesus. One time I spoke to demons a couple of days back. And I told them to get out of here. And then when I did that, you know, something said to me, said, do you know they run at my name? It terrifies them. Because that's the glory of God. It terrifies them. When you mention my name, they get terrified. Because even without calling the name of Jesus, the Bible says because they believe there is God, they are what? They are trembling. You haven't even mentioned the name, but already they are wooing. They are trembling. Why are they trembling? They understand the incredible authority that God has. They understand it. And the Bible says because they know that there is God, they are all trembling. Now, when you mention the name of Jesus, trembling is multiplied 100 times. Do you get what I'm saying? So, all the authority that is vested in the name of Jesus has been given to you as a Christian. The glory you gave me, I have given them. I've given them your authority too. So they can use it in my name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that the earth was given to us to manage? The devil is an illegal, he's not even an immigrant. He's an illegal criminal. Look at Psalm 115:16. Are you following me here? Well, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth Come on, church, by the 8th. Church, come on, the 8th. Had he given to... That's why you have authority here. It was given to us to run. It was not given to the devil. And in the hierarchy, spiritual hierarchy, let me explain this. Please, I want you to listen to. In the spiritual hierarchy, the Christian is at the top, above every other spirit, except God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. The Christian is up there. Below the Christian is any other thing. And in the spirit world, names matter. Let me tell you a mystery. In the spirit world, what? Yes. Names matter. That's why the Bible says that God has given him a name above every other name. Names matter. They do matter. When Goliath was cursing David, he cursed him in the name of his God. In the name of his God. But David says, I come to you in the name of my God. So Goliath was using the authority of the name of their God. And David said, I have a greater name. I come to you in the name of my own God. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. When you lift up the name of Jesus, I want you to know that all those other names, they do what? So God gave us this authority, and in the spirit world, we are seated above them. Now, Ephesians 1:20. That Ephesians 1:20, please. That raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So where is Christ seated? Not heavenly realm. Where is Christ seated? God's right hand side. Now he is far above any ruler, he's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also, which means every demonic spirit, every other spirit, whatever you have a name, is far above all of them. Not just above them, but far above them. Now continue. 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. Can the church say amen? Amen. And he has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Okay? Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him. Where? Come on, church. Where? Come on, church. Where? Because we are. I didn't hear you. Because we are. Because we are. All right. Now, this is a seat. Can I have somebody lend me a seat? A seat, quickly, quickly. Can I grab one seat? One seat. I thought ushers will quickly rush and get me a seat. A seat. I need a seat. Doc, come. Doc, come. Since you've come this far. A seat. I don't know if they can see. Can we push this thing back? A little bit. Jesus is seated, right? Am I right? At the right hand of who? And every other authority is where? I didn't hear you. Doc, come, we're not done. And then, Doc, can you bring that chair? Put it here. The Bible says we're united with who? United. If I'm united with him, where else will he sit except where I'm seated? I'm asking you. What if I'm united with him, I'm joined to him. That's why the church is called the bride of Christ. Because we are joined to Jesus. We are one body. That's why we are the body of Christ. If I'm not joined to him, why am I his body? I'm joined to him because we are one body now. So if I'm seated, Where is he seated? Where are these authorities now? In the spiritual hierarchy, where is he? Come on, in the spiritual hierarchy, where is he? Are we not still joined? Are we still joined? So those spiritual authorities, where did they see him? Where do you see yourself? Don't tell me that. Where do you see yourself? You see above them. When you dream Zico Croach, you'll be calling me. You are created above them. Above them. Pastor ate in the dream. It doesn't mean nothing. All authority. All authority. All names. Whether in this world or the one to come, they are under your feet. That's what it means. They are under your feet. They are under your feet because you are seated with Christ. Where God is seated in divine authority. In the spiritual world, the Christian, you that I'm looking at, in the spiritual world, you in hierarchy, you are where Christ is.
Amen.
That's why you are. He said, the glory you gave me, I have what? Given him. So where I am, there will my servants be. And here we are seated, and then he's crying about cockroach. What do you think Jesus will be saying? Where is the glory I give you? Don't you understand? You carry my glory. And then he said, really? Yes. And then he rises up and says, in the name of Jesus, Jesus said something amazing. He said, if you shall demand anything in my name, I will see to it it happens.
Amen.
Thank you. I will see to it what? It happens. Because I gave you that name to use. Now I'm going to show you in scripture. I maybe stop with this. Amen. Did you get anything?
Yes.
He has given you the glory. Stop acting like you don't have it. Because you got it. You got it. And the devil knows you got it. I was so amazed one time in Adetola Street. I was going on my way. One madman ran towards me. Before I knew it, he went down. He was bound. He was doing like this. I didn't understand. First of all, I said, well, thank God he didn't attack me. He didn't hear. So something said to me, they saw the Christ in you. And another time, my wife was a witness. They were telling us to take one man that was really possessed, to take him somewhere when we're in deeper life, to take him in our car. The man said, I can't enter. There is somebody in that car. He said, I won't enter. Ask her. Then we didn't know. He said, there is somebody with two people. I can't enter him. He's there. They were pleading with him. He said, I won't enter that car. He said, that man is there. Who did he see? The boss. Hey! Woo! Somebody shout amen.
Amen!
When Jesus said to his disciples, he said about prayer, he said, he that though you have not asked in my name, he said, ask anything you shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? He give it to you. He's talking about using his name in prayer. But after that, he told his disciples, now listen to me. He said, when you demand anything in my name, I, Jesus, will see to it. They're not dissenting. And I'll show it to you in scripture. So that you know. First of all, Luke 10:17. Oh, how can I live to Luke 10:17? No. I have to read it. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devils are subject to you. They are subject what? To you through his name. Do you believe that? Okay, let me show you something. John 16:22. When he was trying to tell them he was going to leave them, and then he telling them the privilege he was leaving them with. John 16:22. And you now therefore have sorrow, because I see you, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. 23. And in that day, that's in, after I've risen from the dead, when I see you again, and in that day you shall ask me what? Nothing. That don't pray to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he the Father, I want you to notice, he the Father will what?
Give.
So he's talking about asking the Father in his name. He said, my Father will respond to you. And then he gave the reason. The next verse, please. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, you have never done this before. But I'm going to go and give you the authority that's in my name. In that day, you cannot use my name. You've never done this thing before. You have nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs. So he was telling them, he said, listen, you have never prayed like this before, because I've never really given you the authority in my name, but now I'm going to give it to you. So that if you ask the Father in my name, he will respond to you. Say, because the Father loves you with the same love that he loves me. So he's talking about prayer here, right? Come on, church. He said, my Father will respond to you. Now, in John 14, 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. He's not talking about prayer here. The other one said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, my Father will do. Now he's talking about what he, his responsibility. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I, the other one said my Father, but he said this one, he said the other one, don't ask me anything, no. Don't bother me, don't pray to me, it's my Father. But this one, he said me. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. He said this one is me. The other one said, you shall ask me nothing. Ask my Father in my name, my Father will do. But this one now is not talking about the Father. He's talking about him. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father now may be glorified in the Son. So that the Father will get glory. When you demand things in my name, I will see to it that that thing happens. That's what he's saying. I will see to it. When you demand in my name, I will see to it. And then he put it in another way. Matthew 18, 18. Verily I say unto you, what whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Which means I will give my authority and get it done. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Which means I will give my authority. I will see to it that this happens. Amen? Now, Peter uses this authority to the glory of God. Now, Acts 3, 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give thee. What does he have? The authority to demand in the name of Jesus. He said, such as I have, I give thee. In the church, what did he do now? Can we read it? What did Peter give him? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What was he demanding? What was he demanding? Demanded that he rise up and walk. He didn't pray. He didn't pray to the Father here. He said, I don't have silver and gold, but I have something. I understand what he gave me. He gave me the authority in his name to demand things and it will happen. And because it's his will that you are healed, now I demand in the name of Jesus that you rise up and walk. Walk. What happened there? Verse 7. And he took him. This is the man at the gate. Beautiful. Sit here. You look. Sit here. You look beautiful. The man at the gate. Beautiful. Peter comes. And the man is begging for. You got a quarter here. Like Peter said, I don't have a quarter. Silver and gold. But I have something. He gave me his glory to use. He gave me the authority. I don't have to ask the Father to heal you. I can demand that you rise and walk in his name. He said, then in the name of Jesus, rise up, what? And walk. And the man sat there looking at him. That's exactly what the man was looking at. Do you know how long I've been here? Peter said, when I say that, I know this works. Peter took him by the hand, put him up, and left him. That's faith. That's faith. Peter didn't say, let me see whether you will stand. No. Left him. Look at verse 7, church. And he took him by what? The right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones, but not before Peter lifted him up. No. That strength came when Peter acted and said, this thing works. That name works. Get up. I mean what I'm saying. When Peter acted in faith in that name, Jesus said, yeah, I'll see to it. The strength came. How many of you get what I'm saying? But if Peter didn't act and spoke, watch it, nothing will happen. But Peter said, look, I have faith in this name. It works. Stand up. You should be standing. Stood up. Left him. Supposing he fell down. Because Peter trusted in that name. Thank you. And later on, Peter was explaining it. Verse 13, ask straight at him. Are you getting anything? Ask straight at him. So you see how it doesn't work for you. Because you don't act in faith. Ask straight at him. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Verse 16. And his name. Church, and his what? Amen. Through what? Amen. Faith in his name made this man strong. Who you see and know. Why? Jesus said, if you shall demand in my name, I will see that it happens. And he demanded, and he had faith in what Jesus said, have faith in that name. He put the man up and said, this thing works. And left the man, and Jesus said, yeah, the strength came. And Peter said, it is faith in his name. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. It's not just shouting the name of Jesus. You may be shouting it without faith in it. That's why you must know Christ. I've been teaching it for a long time. You must know Jesus. If you don't know him, you won't trust him. You can be saying what Pentecostals say, but you won't trust him. Because the devil will challenge your faith. It's only those that know their God that will be strong. Paul said, I know in whom. Yeah, after. He said, therefore, none of these things, I don't bother about what the devil is doing. Amen? Amen. Then finally, the thing, if you know through prayer, when your prayer is answered, you bring glory to God. And when Jesus was talking about bearing much fruit, in John 15, he was not talking about life, he was talking about prayer. In John 15, from verse 8 to 9, John 15 from verse 8. From verse 8. John 15 from verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. From verse 7, please. 7. If you abide in me, and my words what? Abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and what? Then he says, because it is done to you, herein is my Father now glorified. It's because of these answers. When God answers your prayer, when he does these things, herein is my Father glorified. Is it not? In this answer to your prayer, is my Father glorified that you now bear much fruit. What he's talking about, real fruit of showing forth the power of God. He said, you are my disciples because I show forth the power of my Father's glory through the works that he does through me. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe because of the works my Father is doing. He said, when you pray and my Father answers, these works of my Father will reveal to them that he is God, and you are my real disciples because that's also how I work. For the kingdom of God is not only in words, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So when God answers your prayer, why? Because that's what Jesus was saying. He said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Ask my Father. He will do it for you so that your joy shall be full. And then the Father is glorified in the Son. Can you imagine what happens when you get your prayer answered? There is joy in heaven. There is joy on earth. And people are saying, wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. 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 Is it not because people saw me and my wife, when we had nothing? Lola, you remember? When we were in, Lola, come. That's my daughter. The husband, Dan, is the senior pastor. Don't run, Angel. Lola is my daughter. Where is she today? Yetunde, stand up. Yetunde. Oh, he has a baby. Yetunde was our first head usher, remember? Yeah, when we started our church. Lola was my little girl. She was in the choir and the youth and everything. Finally, the husband, Dan, who was one of our pastors. I didn't know that instead of Dan praying, Dan was seeing Lola in her dreams. So Dan married her. And then that's Yetunde, our first head usher. Remember? That's our first head usher when we started our church. And then she's living in New York now. She has two babies. And this is the sister. Is this you're the senior, or junior? He's the senior. Okay. So Lola married Pastor Dan. And Pastor Dan, they planted the church. They're the senior pastors of our church in Akoka now. You want to? Are you coming up here? Oh, you have not seen. Okay. Did you see? That's culture. Where I come from, they don't do that. Where I come from, what they do is... See the difference there? See, you see the difference? You see the difference? So they're pastoring in Akoka branch. And then she just came, she's living in New York, and this place is too far for her because she has two little kids. And then they decided to come and visit us today. You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's clap for them. You're welcome. So they knew us when we had nothing. Nothing. I'm telling you. Nothing. What I want to show you is how the acts of God reveals the glory of God. And because now, by the grace of God, my wife and I, we give a lot to people in Nigeria. If you put the families together, about 50 of them. A lot. A lot. My relations started talking to me. They say, we have seen the hand of God in your life. We knew you before. This God is real. They started talking. They said, if we want to decide anything, we need to ask him first. Because they believe that I'm next to God. They started talking. Anything they want, they say, have you asked him? My brother said, brother, go. And he gave his life to Christ. Today he's so serious. When I come, he will bring his. He said, please pray for my whole family. I don't want to tell you what happened before. He was like, I wasn't talking, bothering anybody. But they saw what God was doing. And I went to the village. They all ran to me. They said, am I you giving these things to all these people? We knew you before. Said there's God in heaven. One of my in-laws called me. He said, watching you has shown me that there is God. He said, because I've followed your life. But you know, God has given us his glory. But if we cooperate with him, that glory will manifest and will draw people unto himself. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to do gara-gara. You don't have to prove a point. You don't have to. Just be yourself. And relax yourself into the hand of Jesus. He will take you from glory to glory. You don't take yourself nothing. You don't purify yourself. And that's why I'm preaching. The devil will say, don't go to God again. You've seen somebody like you. No, go. Go, God. Mercy is waiting for you. Forgiveness is waiting for you. You go there. The same God will restore you. He restore you. He'll help you. If you don't go, do you have the strength to help yourself? Same God will help you. He will help. He's not there to kill us. He's there to help us. He said, I'm the God, your helper. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Can you bow your heads? I don't know what you had.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://www.orangefoursquare.org www.store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.